You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
We head over now to speak to Antonio Flores from Lawbird Legal Services for our legal clinic. Good afternoon, Antonio.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Well, very good, Antonio. I think we're doing a little bit better than the UK at the moment as far as the COVID-19 situation is going on. But
I remember when Spain was on the blacklist number one. So
yeah,
it just
it goes around, doesn't it?
I mean,
I know you're a lawyer, but I mean, what do you think? We're going to have more and more restrictions placed back on us here in Spain because it is rising here as well, isn't it?
I think Spain can't take any more restrictions from a financial point of view, economic point of view. You know, economy needs to keep going, and I think the politicians have realised that. There's just no more money to subsidise businesses and workers and employees. You know, these ERTEs, you know, they are swallowing up a lot of money, which is mostly coming from Europe, but it's not indefinite, so...
And I think it's next year when they're going to notice it more because, or this year, shall I say, because those of us that are paying, self-employed tax and so on, and if there's no gigs happening for entertainers and not just those, but other people, the tax bills aren't going to be very high. And so there's not going to be a lot of tax money going in either.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem. The entertainment business, leisure, I mean, travel, all these businesses are struggling. I mean, not Andalusia, but pretty much Andalusia, Valencia, Catalonia. Yeah. So many communities are dependent on tourism, and I think this year we're going to feel it. Unless, of course, the miracle vaccinations come on time and they work.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Let's hope there's a light at the end of the tunnel there. Talk some law stuff here, Antonio, and we're discussing property rental without having a first occupancy license. What is a first occupancy license?
Yeah, this is a very interesting that came in Andalusia. It's coming to more regions.
Yeah.
Those regions, I don't want to talk about politics here, but those regions governed by the PP, by the right wing. And you know that I sit very comfortably in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm not either left or right, and I don't go into politics because I know some people get upset.
Yes.
So you know, the right wing in Andalusia implemented a law in the beginning of the lockdown, which basically meant that people who had short-term rental properties and couldn't rent them out because they didn't have this famous first occupation license could actually get one.
Yeah.
Without having to go to the town hall, doing it through an architect, a qualified architect. So long as a qualified architect could certify that property has become now legal, either because it's got a license or because of passing of time, you know, any property more than 6 years in this part of Spain becomes illegal automatically, or at least a certain type of legality is what they call the tolerated legality. They can get this license. Now, this is a boost for, you know, the economy. I mean, I'm not saying it's a boost for a short rental in the middle of lockdown, but at the very least, it's a help. It's an aid for those who are seeing everything black with, you know, doom and gloom and so on. So, because a lot of people were buying properties and, you know, don't forget Marbella alone has 30,000 properties, but there's many around Andalusia, and this will go also to probably Valencia and Catalonia. That basically is to say that town halls will not have to do this job any longer. You know, it will now be down to architects through the system called Responsible Declaration, which started in Spain in 2014 and is a system to make economy go smoother and faster. Okay, now, for example, normal licenses for businesses, you don't need any more a license unless they are qualified businesses, for example, restaurants and so on. But if you want to open, you know, a bookshop, you can do it without a license. Just make an application, okay? So this system now is being applied also for first occupation licenses, but even first occupation licenses for finished developments, developments of hundreds of units, you know? You don't have to wait for another year for the town hall to come round and verify. So I think it's in the middle of this bad time, it's a necessary boost for the economy.
So just in a nutshell, I didn't quite get my head around this, so maybe it's just me. What is a first occupation license? What does it do?
Well, the first occupation license, basically what it does is it is a document to confirm that the property has been finalised in accordance to the planning permission granted, and two, that the property is fit for living. In other words, it complies with the conditions of habitability required for any person to live in a dwelling. So that document, which used to be a prerogative of the town halls, it was granted only by the town halls. Now they are giving it to private architects, you know, people who are qualified in the profession of architecture, and they can sign off a document under their responsibility, this is important, to say that that property fits that. Now, that could be done in 2 weeks as opposed to 9 months.
The only downside I can see is that we've got to trust that these people make the right decision. But, you know, if town halls didn't have I suppose they do have a kind of interest in it money-wise as well, don't they? But they're meant to be more impartial, I should imagine. So is that an issue?
No, I mean, properties that even have issues, but, I mean, some properties are illegal. But they, by passing of time, they've become legal in the sense that they are tolerated by the law. So they can be bought and sold. They can be mortgaged as well. They become de facto legal properties, but they are built on land which may not be designated for that use. Now, only in Marbella, if you remember, there's 30,000 of those properties. Now, a lot of people are renting these properties through these portals, you know, booking.com, Airbnb, and so on. Yeah. They didn't really have the license required to do it. And a lot of people felt they were in limbo and quite anxious as well, not having this document, which also the Andalusian government was asking. Now, architects can replace the job of the town hall and sign off those documents in a matter of a couple of weeks, 3 weeks. Yes, of course, under their own responsibility. You know, that's why you go to university, because, you know that you are complying with the law as an architect. Of course, they're going to be charging for that. Anyway, I think it's a necessary boost for the economy. And because it was published in the middle of the pandemic and the lockdown because of this, not many people have actually got to know about them, and it's not been applied extensively, not yet anywhere.
What would this do then? What's the desired outcome of doing this? Does it kind of freeze up the town halls, I should imagine?
Imagine we have a client who's bought a property which was built 2006. It was repossessed by the bank. A fund took over. They redid it up, you know, they reformed it, and they put it back in the market. Someone's bought it. And it, you know, rather than having to wait 1 year for the town hall to come round, sometimes even 1 year and a half, for them to come round, to draw up the plans, you know, it's so slow. Here comes an architect. He looks at it. He sits down. He studies the project. He studies the original file with the town hall. And he says, this is compliant with the laws, with the Andalusian government laws. And this obviously applies to the rest of Spain as well in each region. But this architect will certify that this is compliant. And then he will sign it off, which means that within a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, someone could be buying a property which otherwise could be waiting for 1 year. Imagine how the economy has actually improved in that respect, in the respect of new developments.
Yeah.
So what when you read the law says is why having two licenses? Why having the original building license, the planning consent, and also having a license of occupation? It's a duplicity of work.
Because we like our paperwork in Spain, that's why.
But listen, this is not the end of the story. Here comes the Andalusian, the socialist government, and they appeal this law at the Constitutional Tribunal because they say it shouldn't be in place.
So that's Madrid, the national government.
Well, yeah, the national government, just because they're in the middle of a fight, you know, it's a political fight. They, you know, they appeal this. They want a confrontation. They want to... Maybe they are in agreement because they didn't do it themselves. They didn't enact it when they were in power. Now they're furious that the other political party is doing it, and they want to do away with it. So it's I don't think that it's gonna go anywhere. But I think generally overall it's a very very good move.
And do you think about regional socialist governments could actually take this up?
I mean, they eventually will. Responsible declaration has been in Spain. It's been around since 2014.
When
the crisis, when we were actually slightly before the 2014, when we were in the middle of a crisis. In fact, actually Zapatero was the initial one who started this law. It's called the Omnibus Law, and effectively they said that you didn't need a license to apply for most businesses which didn't require specific criteria. You know, like
happy days. It's for most British ears listening, and I include myself. I'm always surprised at the amount of power that a regional government has. And we've seen that, of course, with the COVID-19 pandemic. And decisions being made even as far as the health systems run by the regions, and the vaccination process can be run by Andalusia and Valencia and so on. We're seeing that already, and there's also differences already in how the regions are processing those vaccines.
Yeah.
I think we forget that the regional government do have a lot of power to do this kind of stuff and to make a difference. So the regional elections are really important.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I think most European countries have been somehow allowing local councils and counties as well to determine how the restrictions should be imposed. I mean, we can see that. Even at a municipal level, town halls, municipalities can have their own regulations as to how this, curfew hours and so on. But, time will tell if it's been a good or a bad thing, or whether it was better just to have a nationwide, because what people were doing is they were misusing this system. So, if there was a lockdown in a place, it would go somewhere else. And we have been seeing that, especially initially with Madrid. If you remember when Madrid was in the initial lockdown because they had received most of the original infected people from Italy. So they say when they announced that they were going to be putting Madrid into a very harsh lockdown, this is when everyone came down to the Costas, if you remember.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Everyone got infected down here, and also in Levante. So is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? We don't know. Time will tell. But yes, they do have a lot of power. And we shall see how that works. On top of which we've got Brexit as well. Of course,
I know you're loving it at the moment, aren't you?
We are getting now. We had a couple of phone calls today from people asking from the UK how can we get residency, and we said, you know what, we don't know. We are a law firm that deals with this, and we just don't know because they haven't approved the laws. You know, we knew how it worked till the 31st of December.
Yeah.
We don't know. Being on the 5th of January, we don't know what is the new law. Now they talk about third country. Okay, the same laws as third country, but then they refer to reciprocity. So a lot of the things in this new decree that was approved on the 28th of December, which I'm sure you've probably read it.
I've read it through and through. It's one of my nighttime reading.
bedtime. So this document hasn't really, it's very ambiguous. Okay, it says that they basically based it on various conditions, one of which is reciprocity, the other one is 6 months. You know, so.
Well, when I'm being deported, along with Giles Brown and a few others, we'll be calling you, Antonio.
Well, I thought you had an Irish passport by now.
Not yet. I'm working on it, mate. I'm working on it. I'll be back in the EU. You can't get rid of me that easily, Antonio.
You just got to change your accent when you get your passport.
Oh, dear. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, they may need to get some residency or get some help on one of these first occupancy licenses or whatever it may be. How can they get in touch with you, Antonio?
Well, in respect to residency, we promise that in the next few days we'll have a very clear idea of because even the police station doesn't know how to go about it.
Well, I mean, you know what's been going on with the airlines as well, Iberia and BA, you know, turning people back, saying they can't go into Spain.
With a green card.
Yes. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just read the law, for goodness sake. There is, you know, I don't know.
Why do people become politicians when they can't even sort out these simple things, you know?
Do you know what, if I was in charge, Antonio, tell you, it'd be different. If anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they do so?
Okay, they can call us on 952-861890, or they can email us on info@lawbird.com.
Lovely stuff, and a happy new year to you and yours.
Happy new year as well, and happy Three Kings, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And hope you get a nice little present tomorrow, Antonio.
We shall see.
Speak to you soon. Cheers, Antonio, bye-bye.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.